A newly elected Skagway Assemblyman is found in violation of state disclosure laws for the third time in 2 years. And mixed drinks at distilleries are still in limbo as the ABC board fails to find a consensus. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories up next. A Skagway resident narrowly elected to a seat on the Borough Assembly violated state disclosure laws 3 times. That's according to the Alaska Public Offices Commission staff. They determined Dan Henry has failed to disclose his income, debt, and now gifts from a private company. Henry did not disclose gifts he received during trips to negotiate a major waterfront lease on behalf of the Skagway Borough. In 2013 and 2014, Skagway was in talks with the parent company of White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad. The tourist railroad has leased a significant share of Skagway's tidelands since the 1960s. The city entered negotiations on a new lease because it wanted to renovate the port on property White Pass controls. Henry was one member of a municipal negotiating team. The team traveled to Florida multiple times for talks with TWC Enterprises. The Canadian corporation operates the White Pass Railroad. The trips included stays at a Florida golf resort owned by TWC. City records show that TWC covered accommodation and meals for the Skagway negotiating team. Henry told APOC that TWC also provided golfing free of charge, but he says he does not recall on how many occasions. The investigation was sparked by a citizen complaint from Skagway resident Roger Griffin. Griffin estimated the gifts from TWC to Henry to be worth between $4,000 and $8,000. APOC staff said Griffin was correct that Henry should have disclosed the lodging and entertainment provided by TWC, but they could only confirm about $500 worth of expenses. That's based on 3 hotel stays in February, October, and December of 2013. Still, $500 in gifts is enough to warrant reporting on the disclosure forms required of candidates and public officials. On Henry's 2014 disclosure form, he did not report any gifts over $250. APOC staff say that is a violation. The staff were not able to find enough documentation to determine whether Henry's 2015 form should have included gift disclosures. The maximum fine for the 2014 violation is more than $12,000, $10 a day, but APOC staff recommend a 90% reduction of the penalty to $1,276. That's based on the fact that the amount of gifts Henry received was under $1,000, according to the APOC investigation. APOC staff also recommend Henry correct his disclosure form and attend a financial disclosure statement training within 1 year. In determining a penalty, staff reference Henry's previous violations. Less than a month ago, APOC fined Henry $220 because he did not report substantial debt on his most recent disclosure form. In 2016, Henry was ordered to pay a much more hefty fine of $22,000. He hadn't reported his income on multiple disclosure statements. Henry appealed that decision. He says not disclosing his income was a misunderstanding and not disclosing debt was an oversight. All 3 of the APOC investigations into Henry resulted from citizen complaints. Henry's checkered candidate disclosure record was discovered when he pleaded guilty to federal tax crimes in early 2016. Henry hadn't paid income tax for a number of years. He was sentenced to 1 year in prison and ordered to pay $600,000 in restitution to the IRS. Henry finished his prison sentence and returned to Skagway in time to run for public office. He previously served in Skagway government for 19 years. It was a close election. Henry won an assembly seat by just 5 votes. He was neck and neck with a write-in candidate. The Alaska Public Offices Commission still has to make its official decision on this latest complaint against Henry. The commission could agree with the staff recommendation to fine Henry about $1,300, or it could make a different decision. The commission's next regular meeting is in February. The years of negotiating with White Pass Railroad owner TWC resulted in a proposed 35-year lease, but Skagway voters resoundingly rejected the agreement in 2015. Now the Assembly has another lease proposal on the table. This one would prolong White Pass's hold on key tidelands for 15 years. Amidst that conversation, Henry will return to the Assembly dais this Thursday. The fate of toddies, sours, and mules at Alaska distilleries is still uncertain. The state's Alcohol Beverage Control Board is struggling to decide whether the businesses should be allowed to serve cocktails. At a meeting today, the board revisited an advisory instructing distillers to stop mixing drinks. But as KHNS's Abby Collins reports, they didn't come to any new conclusions.
We've been doing this from the start.
Rob Borland is the owner of Ursa Major Distilling in Fairbanks.
We've been making fine liqueurs. We've been squeezing our own juice for our cocktails. We've been doing all that kind of stuff from the beginning.
Borland is one of several distillers who called into Monday's meeting to oppose banning mixed drinks. Last month, the ABC board upheld an advisory prohibiting the sale of cocktails made with products not produced on site. Since then, some distilleries have continued to serve cocktails made with mixers they produce themselves. Things like syrups, tonic water, ginger beer, and liqueurs. The state hasn't issued any violations for this. But in a memo to the ABC board, the group's director, Erica McConnell, says the cocktails distilleries are serving are not what she envisioned as the distillery's product when she sent out the advisory. So she went back to the board for more guidance. Jared Curay owns the Narrows Bar in Juneau. He told the board anything considered distillery products should be bottled and sold like their liquor.
It's just a slippery slope. I mean, there's a lot of these people that are chiming in, I don't think they're bad actors, but if we allow this kind of model to go on in certain ways without putting clear controls on it, people can push the limits even further.
The board was split on what to do. Ellen Ganley said they shouldn't ban distillers from using non-alcoholic beverages.
I think we have to be really careful here because we do have nine businesses that are, in at least some respect, having the rug pulled out from underneath them.
But Thomas Manning disagreed. He said for something to be considered a distillery product, it needs to be part of the manufacturing process.
I think that someone standing behind the bar and pouring orange juice into the vodka is not manufacturing on site. That's mixing a drink.
Bob Klein recused himself from the discussion as the board's chair. But speaking as the CEO of Anchorage Distillery, he said regulating non-alcoholic products is a slippery slope.
It's just very, very dangerous ground we're treading on.
Rex Leith asked whether the board is even allowed to have a say about products that don't contain alcohol.
I'm not comfortable trying to regulate anything that's non-alcoholic. I don't feel like I have the authority to do that.
While that is true, Assistant Attorney General Harriet Milks said once the drink is mixed, it's a different story. Milks is counsel to the board.
If you have a glass of orange juice in one hand and a glass of vodka in the other hand, the board cannot regulate the hand with the orange juice, but if you pour them together, then the board can regulate that.
After several failed motions, the board couldn't come to an agreement. Instead, they'll revisit the advisory at a November meeting. At that point, new draft regulations for distilleries should be available from AMCO staff. Until the issue is clarified, the agency will not issue violations to distilleries selling drinks using products they make on site. Reporting in Haines, I'm Abby Collins.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.